This morning, I want to talk to you about the text that we've been talking in. If you go to Exodus chapter 3, we're going to pick up in that text and continue on this conversation. God has been speaking to Moses. God has appeared to Moses in the burning bush. God has called Moses. He says, I have a job for you. And then Moses is going to have a crisis. A crisis. Have you ever felt totally inadequate? You've been asked to do something and there's no way you think you can pull that off. Or maybe you were in the midst of doing something and you're like, how in the world did I get myself into this? And you just feel totally inadequate to either do what you've been asked to do or to continue on in what you are doing. And you just want to give up, throw your hands up in the air and say, there's no way I can do this. A lot of us feel totally inadequate a lot of times in our lives. And if you've never felt totally inadequate, you've just not been pushed yet. You will feel totally inadequate at some point. And in this text, we're going to see Moses, like you and I, is going to feel totally inadequate for the task that God calls him to do. And what I want us to understand today and what I want us to see is that God sends his servants to accomplish his work. And we're going to see that in the life of Moses, but you need to understand that that is for your life too. God sends his servants to accomplish his work, which means God is going to send you to do his work if you're his servant. That's a scary thought. You feel very inadequate to do the task that God gives us to do very often. And so the end goal is that I want us to be able to understand that as the church, we've got to understand what our work is. And most of our work consists of being sent and going and obeying God. So what I want to do is we're going to pick up the text. Remember, they're still in this conversation. God has said, therefore, go. And then Moses is going to have some issues with that. So what I want to do is I want to back up one verse that we were in last week. We're going to start in verse 10 and we'll go through verse 18. And this is how the story continues. It says, therefore, go. God's speaking to Moses. He says, I've got a job for you. Go. I am sending you to Pharaoh, said that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And he answered, I will certainly be with you. And this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain. Then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're saying to the Israelites. I am has sent you. And God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. And this is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me and said, I have paid close attention to you and to what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised that I will bring you up from the misery of the land of Egypt, to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, and they will listen to what you say. Then you, along with the elders of Israel, must go to the king of Egypt and say to him, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now please let us go on a 3-day trip into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to Yahweh, our God. There are two questions that drive this text. There are two questions that drive this particular part of the conversation between Moses and God. And these questions are the two questions I want us to focus on today. The first question is this: who am I? Moses says, who am I? He goes from being called in verse 10 and saying, therefore, go, you're going to help deliver the people of Israel. You're going to help deliver all of these folks. And Moses feels very inadequate for his job. And he asks the question that we often ask of God. It is, who am I that you want me to do this? Who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm from South Louisiana. I'm a country boy. I've never been to those big schools. I don't know a whole lot of stuff. I'm just a simple person. I don't have enough money to do that type of thing. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough resources. And we say, God, who am I? And Moses here is an identity crisis. Moses is a man who is just a sheep herder. He's just a shepherd. And God is telling him, I've got a really important job for you. And Moses goes from, here I am, early on when he says, Moses. And Moses' answer is, here I am, what's up? And Moses goes from, here I am, to who am I? Ever been there? God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, I will follow you. I will do whatever you call me to do. And then God says, I've got a job for you. And he tells you what the job is. And you say, I don't think we've got this right. Who am I to do that? Who am I? I don't have the skill set. I don't have the ability. I don't have any of those things. I don't have the speech ability. I don't have nothing that qualifies me to lead the people of Israel out of their bondage. And God calls us and we say, God, who am I? Who am I to tell this person about you? Who am I to give to this? Who am I to lead this? Who am I to teach this class? Who am I to serve in this capacity? I don't have the skill set. I don't have the ability. Who am I? I tell you, I understand that. Now, in the last 8, 9 years, more than any other time in my life. Who am I? Let me let you in on a little secret. Pastors have some of the lowest confidence in the world because we have no control over anything. The weather happened today. You know, people get flooded in. We have no control over that. We ask to serve or to do things, and we have no control over your response. And time and time again, we study and we preach, and we just feel totally inadequate. At least I do. And pastors, we struggle with this. I'll be honest with you. We struggle with it. I do. With, am I adequate? God, why in the world did you ask me to do this? Why in the world did you give me this assignment? Who am I to lead these people? I can identify with Moses. Can you? Maybe you don't have the same job Moses has, but there are times when God has called you to do things and you feel totally unprepared, totally inadequate. And Moses has already tried to free them. Remember in chapter 2, I think it is, where Moses comes to the Hebrews and says, "Hey guys, why are you fighting?" And they say, "What, you're going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" He's already tried it his way. And he failed to deliver the Israelites. And now God is calling him to do that very thing. And Moses can say to God, "Look, I tried it. I did it." And God's answer is one of the best answers in all of Scripture. And God says this, "I will certainly be with you." I will be with you. Not just I might go with you, not just you can do it, not just any of that. God says, "I will certainly be with you." And when God calls you to a task, he doesn't send you in alone. It doesn't mean the task is easy. It doesn't mean that the response is the response you want. It doesn't mean things are going to happen the way you dreamed and hoped and planned they would come out. He just promises you that you will not be alone. That is the greatest comfort in Scripture that we can often find. God says, "You won't be alone. Certainly, I will go with you." Moses doesn't have to trust in himself. He doesn't trust himself, and really he shouldn't. If Moses could have did it alone, he would have done it already. If you could have done what God has called you to do alone, you would have done it already. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians. He says, "So I take pleasure in my weakness." You're like, "Paul, are you crazy?" He says, "I take pleasure in my weakness, in insults, in catastrophes, in persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ." And he goes on to make this statement. He says, "For when I am weak, I am strong." For when I am weak, I am strong. How is that? That's a paradox. It makes no sense. That's oxymoronic. How can you be both weak and strong at the same time? And Paul comes to the same conclusion that Moses will, and that is, yes, I can't do it on my own, but God is certainly with me. So when I'm weak, when I don't have the qualifications, when I don't have the resume, when I don't have the money, when I don't have the ability to do what it is that God has called me to do, I'm weak. Yet on the other hand, I'm strong because I've got the creator of the universe with me. I've got the one who knows all and is all and understands all with me. I've got the one who was there in the beginning and the one who will be there in the end with me. So even though I may be weak in my person and in my own abilities, I am strong because God has sent me and he has given me a task, and my job is to obey him. Moses says, "Who am I? Who am I that I would get this job? Who am I that I could lead the people of Israel out of their bondage? Who am I that I could be their spiritual leader? Who am I?" And God says, "You're nobody, but I'll be there." Now, Moses has assurance that God will be with him. The question is, who is this God? Which is the second question that drives this conversation. Moses says, "Who am I?" Then he says, "Who are you? Who are you?" Moses says, I can go and I can tell them that I saw this bush that was burning, yet it did not be consumed. And I can tell them that I've got this great vision and I've been given this purpose. And they're going to say, you ate some bad sausage last night. They say, where in the world did you come up with this stuff? I need to be able to tell them who it is that sent me. So they're going to say, who is this God? So what's your name? And God's answer is a profound answer. It's been baffling people for years and years and years. The fact of the matter is this name, which is his proper name, has actually been lost in history. During the time of guys like Ezra and beyond, they no longer pronounced the name of God because it was so, so revered. And they wouldn't even pronounce the name, and they did not put the vowels with the name. And as a matter of fact, they would come to the name when they were reading their Bible, and they would say, Lord, instead of the name of God. Which is why in most of your Bibles, when you get to the word Lord and it's all in caps, it's the proper name for God. And so the way to pronounce this name is, honestly, we don't really have a certainty of what it is. But our best guess is that it's pronounced Yahweh. And it comes from the verb form to be. And so what it means is, I am who I am. Or you could say it this way, I am who I've always been. I am who I always will be. I am the God who was at the beginning. I am the God who has seen eternity past and knows eternity future. I am. I am the God who does not change. I am the God who is with you. I am the God who has heard the cries of Israel. I am the God who will respond to them. I am who I am. And most of us, this concept of God being I am, being from eternity past, eternity future, it's a puzzling concept. Because we think on a linear time. The word chronology comes from the Greek word chronos, which means time. And we've put things in order. So we are born, then hopefully one day we walk. And then we run, and then we go to school, and a variety of things. And we just mark it off on the list in a timeline, in a chronology of our life. But you need to understand something. God has no beginning, and he has no end. He has no chronology, because he is outside of time. That's a thing for us to we struggle to fathom. Think of it this way. If I'm holding a basketball in my hand, from one beginning to the end through the basketball, think of that as time. Yet God has the ability to hold the ball in his hand and be outside of it and see everything at one time. That's why he can say, I know the past, I know the present, and I know the future. For him, it all happens at one time. And so he can say, I am, because he is everything at every point and every time. Who do I say sent me? Who are you? And God says, I am who I am. I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God who has called these people out, and I am the God who will change their lives. I am. And I am is still the same God who calls people out of their sin and into righteousness. I am is still the same God who understood our sin and became man in human flesh. I am is the same God who became human flesh, lived the perfect life, died on the cross, and was raised again so that he can invite us into relationship. I am. I am. God reveals to Moses his name. Now, when you reveal your name to someone, you open yourself up to things. Hopefully, on the positive note, you open yourself up to relationship. When I tell you, hi, my name is Joshua, I'm no longer that dude over there. I'm Joshua. Then you begin to get to know me, and you begin to understand things about me and my personality and who I am and what I do. I'm no longer an elusive figure in the building. And now I have a name that gives me part of my description. So God says to Moses, my name's Yahweh. But the thing about this, when we open ourselves up to relationship, we often also open ourselves up to pain. We can defame someone's name. We can hurt their name. We can talk bad about their name. And God is revealing himself to Moses and saying, this is how every generation will understand me. It is I am. But it also, not only do we have the opportunity for relationship, we also have the opportunity for you to hurt me. And Israel will hurt God over and over and over again. They will disobey him. They will go after idols. They will not trust him. They will not obey his law. And God is opening himself up to the positive aspects of relationship and also to the pain of relationship. God says, I am who I am. But not only am I am sins. He says, I am sending you. Moses, totally inadequate. Who am I? Then he says, if I go, who do I tell them? And God says, tell them it's the God of their fathers. Tell them it's the God who heard their cry. Tell them it's the God who loves them and cares for them and is with them. And tell them that it is the God who sends people. Now you go. You talk to the elders. And it's going to be okay. And we want to take this scripture and we want to apply it to our lives, to the exclusivity of all other scriptures, and say, if God sends me, they're going to listen. And it's going to be good. And no problems will ever happen. The problem is, God sends another guy, and God tells him, by the way, they're not going to listen to you. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 27, God speaks to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah also goes through this crisis. Who am I? And God says, I've called you from the womb. And God sends him out, and in Jeremiah 7, 27, it says, when you speak all these things to them, they will not listen to you. Gee, thanks, God. Thanks for sending me on a mission where I'm going to be a total failure. He says, when you call to them, they will not answer you. And this is Moses' greatest fear, is that if I go and do this, they're not going to listen. They're not going to care about who I am. They're not going to care about in whose name I'm coming. And God says, don't worry about it. They're going to listen. I'm with you. But you need to understand this. God sends not only Moses, but he sends you and I. And the thing is this. It doesn't mean you're going to be successful in your own sight. It doesn't mean that they're going to listen to you. When God says, share your testimony or share what God has done in your life or share how you have been changed with your family, they may not listen to you. They may laugh at you. And we say, God, why are you setting me up for failure? And God says, you misunderstood what success is. Success is not them listening to you. Success is you obeying me. And God will send us on task and will give us opportunities to share and will make or send us to do things that we are uncomfortable doing. And in all appearances, it may look like we have failed. And God is wanting to know if you are going to be faithful to him. He wants to know if the next time he says, go, are you going to listen? And God sends Moses, God sends Jeremiah. He knows the outcome of both, but he sends them regardless. So my question for you today is, to whom is God sending you? Or to what is God sending you? It's a scary thought, huh? It's a scary, scary thought. That the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who calls people to do missions, the God who calls people to share their faith, the God who calls people to action is calling you. And he's sending you. If you stop and dwell on that for a while, it blows your mind. You go back to the question of, who am I that you want me to do that? So who's God sending you to? Who in your family needs to know that he is God? Who is it that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Who is it needs to know that God loves them and God cares about them and God wants to take them from bondage and bring them into deliverance? Who is God sending you to? See, God sends Moses, but more importantly than God sending Moses is God will send you. Will you be obedient to that? Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you do what he has called you to do? And whether or not you are a success in the eyes of others, you are a success in the eyes of God, if you obey. God calls Moses and God sends Moses. Same thing with us. God calls us to himself. And if you've never come to know God, if you've never started that relationship with God, or you've never repented, given up, and said, God, I want to follow you. You've never accepted the call. You won't be sent. But he also won't be with you. God only promises to be with those who he's called and who he sends. Who has God put on your heart? Who is God sending you to? As the guys play, I invite you to stand and respond to God. If he's calling you, let's talk about it. If he's sending you, let's pray about it.